Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. I'm John Steele. This is another midweek mini-pod, better late than never, I hope. In this episode, I'm going to round up the key talking points and the main events from the midweek round of J2 games that was played this, Wednesday night, round 26. Now, the top two sides are now level on 52 points, with Tokushima first, still ahead of second place Fukuoka on goal difference. Tokushima, 9 goals better off in that department at the moment. Tokushima, though, only managed a draw in midweek, 1-1 away at 16th placed Okayama. Now, at times, this game seemed like a personal battle between Tokushima's Takeru Kishimoto and the Okayama goalkeeper William Pope. Pope making 3 good saves from Kishimoto during the course of the game. Tokushima thought they'd won it when they went ahead late on in the 79th minute. I have to say it was brilliant chest control and a volley from Atsushi Kawata. It's easy to forget about him because Yuki Kakita has been the main man for a lot of the season for Tokushima. But Atsushi Kawata, what a brilliant target man to have in reserve. Okayama grabbed a point though, thanks to the substitute Kazuki Saito's late header in the second minute of second half stoppage time. I think the Tokushima goalkeeper Naoto Kami Fukumoto will be disappointed that he was beaten by this one. I think he got 2 good hands to it, but somehow failed to keep it out. So it finished 1-1 in that game. Now, Fukuoka, second place. They made it an incredible 11 straight victories on Wednesday night. Fantastic couple of months they've had. They won 2-1 away at 5th place Niigata. Now, Niigata in 5th place, but 12 points adrift of the promotion places. It looks like a tall order for them to get promoted this season now that there are no playoffs and it's just the top two that go up automatically. Great start from Fukuoka in this game. Juanma and Asahi Masayama both went close, and when Masayama's shot was blocked by the goalkeeper out for a corner, Douglas Groley, the big Brazilian centre-back, was able to head them in front, and that goal came in the 14th minute. The Niigata goalkeeper, Ryosuke Kojima, was busy. He made a great save from Takaki Fukumitsu just after half-time to keep the score down as well. But Niigata did draw level in the 64th minute. The Brazilian striker Fabio's header was tipped onto the post by Fukuoka's goalkeeper Masaaki Murakami. But Shion Honma, the twinkle-toed young winger, was on hand to tuck away the loose ball pretty much on the goal line for 1-1. Fukuoka's winner, though, came from a counter-attack. Actually, it was from a Niigata corner, which was cleared. Masayama did brilliantly. He carried the ball 40 or 50 yards by himself and then played in Fukumitsu, whose first touch wasn't the best. He got the ball stuck under his feet, but he was able to beat the goalkeeper and score. That was with about 19 minutes left, and that's how it finished. Fukuoka winning 2-1 away at Niigata, and we'll talk more about Niigata later, because they've been involved in a bit of a off-the-pitch scandal today, as it happens. Now, 6 points further back from the top two, two teams both on 46 points, Kita Kyushu third and Nagasaki fourth. Kita Kyushu ranked ahead because they're 2 goals better off on goal difference than Nagasaki, but both of these sides were beaten on Wednesday night. Kita Kyushu went down 3-2 away at Kofu, a result which moves Kofu up slightly into 6th place. Kofu were ahead in the 26th minute in this game. Great work by Jin Izumisawa. I don't think we've seen enough of that from him this season, to be honest. But he set up a header for Junma Miyazaki to score. Kita Kyushu levelled just 6 minutes later, though. Daigo Takahashi slamming home a loose ball inside the penalty area. Izumisawa was the provider again, though, for Kofu to go back in front just 4 minutes after Takahashi's goal. This time he teed up Shusuke Ota to make it Kofu 2, Kita Kyushu 1. Into the second half, Kita Kyushu levelled 7 minutes into that second period. A fine kind of flicked header from Akira Disaro seems to be back and banging. There was a sting in the tail, though, for Kita Kyushu. 2 minutes from time, Kofu won it when Junior Barros, making his way back from injury, he was fit enough to be on the bench for this game and came on. His shot was deflected into the goal off the head of Shohei Takeda. I'm still not sure if he meant this or whether it kind of hit him accidentally. But anyway, it hit Shohei Takeda's head, went in. So it finished Kofu 3, Kita Kyushu 2. First win in 8 games for Kofu, so it's kind of surprising to see them still up there in sixth place after a run like that. For Kita Kyushu, I think Stuart and I have already declared their impressive kind of winning run or impressive form over, but for them, no wins in the last six matches, so they're definitely they're third, but in the process of maybe sliding down the table, you feel. Now, Nagasaki, fourth place, they were beaten 1-0 away at Iwata. Iwata in 12th place, somewhat incredibly, this was Iwata's first win in nine matches. So wonder if they'll be able to pick up a little bit from here. We wait to see. Nagasaki had two good chances in the first half of this game. Masashi Kamikawa's fierce shot hit the crossbar. Possibly the Iwata goalkeeper Naoki Hatta got a touch on this. It wasn't quite conclusive, wasn't clear from the replay. Hatta also saved well from Takumi Nagara in the first half. Iwata got the crucial goal right after half time, though. Yasuhito Endo's corner caused havoc in the Nagasaki penalty area. Masaru Kato didn't cover himself in glory with his attempted clearance. He sort of swung at thin air, then fell on the floor inside the 6-yard box. And Iwata's rookie striker, Naoto Miki, was able to tap in his first professional goal. And that proved to be the winner. Yeah, Iwata beating Nagasaki 1-0 on the night. In the other games around the division, two Kanto-based teams, Machida Zelvia and Tokyo Verdy, went goal crazy by their standards. Machida beat Kyoto 3-0 at home. And yeah, a result which probably ends Kyoto's promotion hopes for this season, if we're honest. Kyoto were the architects of their own downfall in a really poor performance from them. They managed to score an own goal in the fourth minute from, of all people, Yoshihiro Shoji, their kind of metronomic midfield influencer. And at the start of the second half, Kyoto's goalkeeper, Tomio Wakahara, passed the ball straight to Machida's Leo Takae, who very coolly and confidently chipped the ball over Wakahara and into the net from about 35 yards for 2-0. Kyoto did come back a little bit. They hit the bar through Kyohei Kuroki, but in the very last minute, Machida's talisman really at the moment, Taiki Hirato, went clean through and confidently scored to make it 3. Brilliant win for Machida. A first win in nine matches for them, in fact. It lifts them up to 14th in the table. Kyoto down in 9th and a whopping 14 points off the promotion places. We're coming up on the last third of the campaign now, and it doesn't seem like they're going to have enough to challenge the top two this year. Now, 7th place Tokyo Verdy are on 38 points with Kyoto and also Kanazawa, who we'll talk about in a moment. Tokyo Verdy won 4-1 on the road at the bottom side in J2 Ehime. Verdy had a dream start, scoring with less than a minute on the clock through the youngster Mizuki Arai. Ehime then jabbed that self-destruct button that they're quite fond of doing. They had Yoichi Naganuma sent off for two deserved yellow cards before the 23rd minute. Two stupid tackles close to the halfway line, so I think he deserved to go. Verdy scored two more goals before half-time, and they were both rebounds after shots had hit the goal frame. First it was Shohei Takahashi who converted, and then Junki Koike added a third. And Verdy got a fourth goal late on. Yoshito Okubo on as a substitute, very unselfishly squaring the ball for Yuhei Sato to make it 4-0. Ehime did pull a goal back right at the end. Ferocious shot from Takuma Kawamura, but it was too little too late, and Verdy ended up winning 4-1. So as I mentioned, yeah, Verdy on 38 points in 7th, Kyoto on the same number in 9th. It's sandwiched in between them, also on 38 points, are Kanazawa. They beat the second bottom side, Yamaguchi, 4-2 at home on Wednesday night. And Kanazawa in a sort of quietly impressive run of form, 6 games unbeaten now. Kanazawa were 2-0 up at the break in this one on goals from Lukao and an absolute cracker from Raisei Shimazu. I think he was scoring for the third consecutive game, and it's a goal that's worth checking out in the highlights. Brilliant strike. Kanazawa hit the post right at the start of the second half through Ryo Kubata, so it could have been 3-0 early on in the second period. And suddenly Yamaguchi were level. By the hour mark, it was 2-2. After well-worked goals from Takahiro Ko and the Brazilian striker Yuri. But Kanazawa went back in front just 2 minutes after Yuri's equaliser. The substitute Kyohei Sugiura heading home just 3 minutes after coming onto the pitch. And Sugiura was the key man. He set up another substitute, Rodolfo, for Kanazawa's fourth goal in stoppage time. Great game, this one. Probably the game of the round, I think. And I would have, if I had more time, I would have probably gone back and watched the whole 90 minutes. Really, really good stuff. There was another entertaining and high-scoring game up in Matsumoto. Matsumoto and Mito played out a 2-2 draw at the Alwyn Stadium. It doesn't do much for either side, unfortunately. Matsumoto stayed in 19th, Mito stayed in 10th. Very entertaining match. Matsumoto 1-0 up at the break after a very nice team goal, started and finished off by Taro Sugimoto. Mito made an important change at half-time. Masato Nakayama, the striker, came on and replaced Halef Pitbull up front. And Nakayama, such a good player, made an instant impact, scoring two goals inside 4 minutes in the second half to turn this game on its head. He forced in a right-wing cross in the 52nd minute and then made it 2-1 to Mito with a diving header from a left-wing cross in the 56th. So, just two goals just 4 minutes apart. Pretty good going for a substitute. Also in this game, there was a miss of the season contender from Mito's Kai Matsuzaki, a player that I really like, but I can't defend him here. He managed to hit the crossbar from about 3 yards out. He might still be wondering how he failed to score from that distance. And it proved to be a costly miss because Matsumoto earned a point thanks to a late and superb, it has to be said, Toyofumi Sakano header that came in the 76th minute. So it finished 2-2. This cracking game, really, between Matsumoto and Mito. In other games, Yamagata won 1-0 away at Tochigi. Yamagata moving up to 11th in the table. 4 wins in their last 5 matches. They might be saying that they don't need Yuya Yamagishi, recently departed to Fukuoka, and they might have a point on this form. A horrible mistake from Tochigi's right-back, Yushi Mizobuchi, was kind of key to the winning goal. He underhit or mishit an attempted back pass and presented the Yamagata striker Vinicius Araujo with a simple finish for the goal. That was in the 29th minute. We should also give a shout out to the Yamagata centre-back Hiroki Noda for an absolutely brilliant goal line clearance as well before half time to preserve that narrow lead. The slender advantage was held on to by Yamagata. They ended up winning 1-0. Tochigi in 13th place, and I think they'll be reasonably content with that, I think. But I think their mini revival is also slowing down for them. No wins and no goals in any of their last 4 matches. There was also a 1-0 away win for Gunma. They won on the road away at Ryukyu, so Gunma up to 18th place and unbeaten in their last 3. For Ryukyu, since they won 6-1 away at Matsumoto, it seems like a long time ago, they've taken their foot off the pedal. They've had 4 defeats in the 5 matches since that big win. And in this game, it was poor old Lee Yonjik, who I've highlighted a few times, I think, in the past. He was playing at centre-back for Ryukyu, as usual, not his best position, and as usual, it was costly. He was at fault for Gunma's goal. He lost possession twice in the space of a few seconds. I don't think it's his fault. He's played out of position, and he's struggling. I think everybody can see that. But, his mistakes allowed Gunma's junior Kato to set up Tatsuya Uchida for a tap-in, and that goal came in the 64th minute. It's worth watching the highlights to see the kind of scrum that develops in the Ryukyu penalty area. But not good centre-back play from Lee Yonjik. But not his fault, and he's clearly struggling. And I think the back line of Ryukyu struggled a lot this season. They just chopped and changed too many players, and they're perhaps short of a couple of specialists in the centre-back position, it seems. But great win for Gunma, and they did it without Genki Omai as well, who wasn't in the squad. I think he's still out injured. So Gunma winning 1-0 away at Ryukyu. Ryukyu down in 20th place now, and as I mentioned, struggling a little bit. Last and very much least for the midweek games, Omiya and Jeff Chiba played out a pretty boring goalless draw at NAC 5. And again, doesn't really help either team out much. Omiya stay 15th, Jeff 17th. The Omiya goalkeeper, Takashi Kasahara, had to make a great save from Takayuki Funayama in the first half, and Omiya did nearly score with the very last kick of this match at the end of the second half. It might have been a controversial goal if it had gone in, because the Jeff's Australian right back Jason Guerrier was down prone in the penalty area at the time with a head injury. So had that goal been scored and been allowed, it might have been controversial. But to be honest, the lack of fight in Jeff this season, they probably wouldn't even have protested to the referee it had gone in. But yeah, it finished 0-0, and that's as much as we want to say about that game, I think, really. Just a quick look ahead then to the weekend games before I depart. Round 27, the games pretty evenly split between Saturday and Sunday this week, and another full midweek round coming up on Wednesday as well, so we might see some squad rotation in effect over the weekend. But on Saturday, October the 17th, two games at 2 p.m, the big one of those being leaders Tokushima hosting 6th place Kofu, also on the slate Tokyo Verdy against Tochigi. At 3 p.m, the big match is undeniably Kita Kyushu hosting Nagasaki, 3rd versus 4th, and two teams coming off the back of defeats in midweek, so they'll be eager to bounce back as quickly as possible. That should be a really good game, I think. A Kyushu derby as well, I suppose, we should mention. Also at 3 o'clock, Jeff Chiba taking on Machida at Fukuda Denshi Arena. There's an evening game as well on Saturday at 6:30, and it's Ryukyu hosting Matsumoto. I think in an ordinary season we might be calling that a relegation six-pointer, but yeah, no relegation this year, so we should probably call it a dead rubber instead. Now on Sunday, October the 18th, six matches in the J-League scheduling wisdom, they all start at exactly the same time, so all six games at 2 p.m, so you have to choose carefully if you want to watch one. Yamagata take on Ehime, Kanazawa host Iwata, Kyoto take on Yamaguchi, and it's Okayama versus Omiya. The big games, though, I think, are Mito against Niigata, 10th versus 5th. Now, it doesn't sound that exciting on paper, but, you know, I have to pick out some games for us to mention. Now, the Niigata scandal, it's come out today. Two of their foreign players, it's the very, very useful Brazilian striker Fabio, and the slightly less useful, I think he's Spanish, Pedro Manzi, another striker. Now, they were travelling in a car, I think, that was stopped by police sometime last month in Niigata. Fabio was driving, was arrested on suspicion of drink driving. Pedro Manzi was in the passenger seat. I think the reason this has only come out today is because apparently Niigata didn't inform the J-League of this situation until this week. So, yeah, Fabio's been playing in Niigata games after being arrested and released, so I assume he's got a court case coming up. I think there's going to be some announcement next week about the punishment for Fabio and Pedro Manzi. It's hard to imagine it'll be anything other than a sacking offence for Fabio, since he was the driver. For Pedro Manzi, I'm not sure. I think if they sack one player, they'll have to sack both. But I'm not up to date with all the details. I don't know the ins and outs, but drink driving, pretty serious stuff. Not really any excuse for such stupid behaviour. So we'll see what punishment comes down from Niigata to the players. And we'll also see if there's a punishment for Niigata, the institution, the club, from the J-League, if it's true that they knew about that for about 6 weeks and didn't tell the J-League. I think that's probably going to be problematic as well. So short version, don't expect Fabio or Pedro Manzi in the Niigata squad for that game away at Mito. The other game on the Sunday slate is Gunma hosting Fukuoka. So, yeah, 18th place hosting 2nd place. Gunma are 3 games unbeaten. They do seem to be getting it together a little bit. But Fukuoka are on that run of 11 straight wins. You wouldn't want to bet against them making it 12 in a row away at such a lowly opponent, I would suggest. Okay, so that's all for this midweek mini-pod. I hope that was an enjoyable review of the midweek games, and a brief but equally enjoyable preview of the weekend action that's coming up. I think I'll say bye for now. Thanks as ever for listening and downloading, and especially to the patrons who make it all worthwhile, you know, keep the lights on, keep the microphones on for us. And Stu and I will be back possibly after the weekend games, but maybe after the midweek games next week to wrap up everything that's been going on. So we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully as a duo, But yeah, I'll say bye for now. Thanks for listening. And yeah, enjoy the football over the weekend. Cheers.